Now we're going to dive in to our next siman. Siman Kuf Ayin Tes, as we saw the last two chaburs when we were learning Kuf Ayin Ches, Chukazakim, we saw the Rambam and following him, the Torah and Shulchan Aruch, sort of frame, you take Chukazakim, Chukazim Lo Seilechu, as a particular lav, which is the topic of Kuf Ayin Ches, we had a chance to thrash out over the preceding two chaburs, but also sort of as a frame, as a header for a number of related Isurim, which appear over the course of the last two prakim of Hilchos Avodah Zarah and the Rambam, or more fully, Hilchos Avodah Zarah v'Chukos HaGoyim, because that is this larger topic, Chukos HaGoyim, and it appears over the course of five simanim in this corner of Yeredeh, Kuf Ayin Ches, Kuf Ayin Tes, Kuf Pei, Kuf Pei Alf, Kuf Pei Beis. So as we move from Kuf Ayin Ches, which is in the narrow sense, Chukazakim, sort of broaden things a little bit to talk about in Kuf Ayin Tes, different halachas of the occult. A host of lavin that deal with, that govern how Jews ought to relate or not relate to sort of a supernatural occult type of things. We could just talk about, loosely speaking, as magic and superstitions. So you saw that it's a very packed few psukim in terms of the density of mitzvahs per pasuk. In Parsha Shoftim, in Perek Yud Ches, the whole Torah says to avoid toavas ha-goyim ahem, the toevos of those nachrim who live, the Kanani tribes who live in Eretz Yisrael. And the Torah begins to list, that's the basis for the Rambam's understanding, that these Yisurim all fall under the sort of the larger rubric of Chukos HaGoyim. And the Torah proceeds to list Molech and Kosei, Ma'one, Menachesh, Mechashif, and so on and so forth, Ov Yedoni, Dor Shel Mesim, a whole slew of, a whole litany of Lavim, which have to do with Jews getting involved in the occult, in the supernatural. And these series of psukim and the revi of Shoftim ends with Tamim Tia Im Hashem Lokecha. Instead, a Jew ought to be complete and whole with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not get involved with all of this stuff. And the psukim go on to say, so the next topic, the Torah transitions from this to the Navi, to a proper Navi Emes. The Torah says what you ought to be doing is, if you're curious about the future, you ought to be asking a Navi Emes. That's the beginning of Chamishi. The mitzvah aseh of Elov Tishma'un, and so on and so forth. That's proper, that's appropriate, that's reaching out to Ribono Shalom for supernatural advice, and that's an appropriate, seeking out a Navi is an appropriate form of supernatural guidance, appropriate spirituality. As I indicated in the Maamar Kamos, there is some discussion in the Bavli about these lavin, and there's more in the Sifrei. I realized today I had made a pretty grave gap in the Maamar Kamos, and I apologize, because a number of those Sifreis are in Maseches Sanhedrin. The Beis Yosef sends you to it. Yosef Kaur sends it to it both in his Beis Yosef on the tour and in his Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam, which you saw. As a matter of fact, he even in the Kesef Mishnah tells you, you can look in the Sefer Beis Yosef on the Yeredeya, fascinating language, referring to sending you to where he has a broader discussion. So it's a Mishnah in Sanhedrin Samachem and Aleph, that's in Arba Misos. That Perek Arba Misos is in large part going through different lavin for which the onesh is skila. So one of those, with a focus obviously on those lavin that don't have an address elsewhere. Chil Shabbos is skila, but you don't need to discuss Chil Shabbos in Sanhedrin. Shabbos has a mesechta or two devoted to it. But the Mishnayos here go focus in Arba Misos on the niskalin, and then later prakim on the other chiyuvei misa, nisrafim, neragim, Nechnakim, particularly those that don't have another address elsewhere in Shas. See here, Samachem and Aleph, you have a mission about Ov and Yidoni, which are Chiyuvei Skila, and then the Gemara, Samachem and Aleph onto Samachem and Beis, to the very top of Samach Vav, goes through some of the more about Ov, as well as some of the other Isurim that appear in this list in Parshas Shoftim. So we're going to be focusing. So Menachish in particular appears at the bottom of Samachem and Beis in Sanhedrin. We'll come to that in a moment. Over the course of this list, I think our focus this week and next, we'll focus right now on Menachish, on superstition. The indicator of Ramakamos, next week we'll seek to look a little bit at Kosim, at predicting the future, primarily at Kishuf. At magic, and which is something that comes up at times. And particularly Ma'onin is another one of those Isurim, another one of those Lavin, which the Gemara, Rashi Al-Tor quotes, is a Gemara. It's a Sefrei and a Gemara at the bottom of Samachem Beis, quotes this Brises Machlokes HaTanoim, what is Ma'onin, whether Machlokes Rebbe Akiva and the Chachamim, those are the two primary Shitas, whether it's more related to today's topic, to superstition, or whether it's more related to next week's topic of magic. Right now we're going to look at Menachish. We're going to focus on Menachish, but the Shulchan Aruch actually opens with Tamim Tihyah. So maybe let's take a look at that first, and as we're going to see, it's sort of a yesod, it's a foundation for this whole siman. The Shulchan Aruch tells you, the opening sif in Kuf Ayin Tes, Ein Sholem Bechozim Bekachavim Velo Begoralos. A Jew should not be asking questions of an astrologer. Why? Rama tells you, Mishum Shenemra, Tam Tia Mashal Makecha. So where did this all come from? And Rama goes on to say, you certainly shouldn't be going to something that's even more occult than an astrologer. To go to a Mechashef and so on and so forth, to visit a magician to find the future, that's definitely a real problem. But where does this come from? This din with which the Shulchan Aruch opens. So that, as you know, as you saw, that's a Gemara, it's rooted in a Gemara, Psachim Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, with the parish of Tosfos and Shabbos Kuf and Vav. The Gemara Psachim Kuf Yud Gimel Beis talks about not to seek out the Kaldoi. Why should you not seek out the Kaldoi? Because of Tamim Tiya Im Hashem Elokecha. That's what tells you. That's why you should not be asking questions of the Kaldai. Who are the Kaldai? So Tosfos and Shabbos points out that while Rashi on site says this has to do with Ov Yedoni, the Tosfos says, but you see from that long sugi in Shabbos about astrology, you see that the Kaldai, Chaldeans were, that was an ethnic group in Bavel. But in terms of how the Gemara is using it, it's being used, Tosfos points out, Kaldai doesn't seem to mean Ov, Kaldai seems to mean Chozen Bekochavim, Hovrei Shamayim, astrologers. So that's what Tosfos says, you plug the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Nun Vav into the Gemara in Pesachim Kuf Yud Gimel, so Ein Shol Bekaldai, not to ask questions of the Kaldai, because of Tavim Tia, that means not to seek out astrologers. That's the approach of Tosfos, the Kesef Mishnah we mentioned before, Perik Yudal, Halachates, reference as well, Pshat and Rambam. Rambam seems to understand Hovri Shammai maybe are Ma'onin. We'll get back to that. Okay. So that's an Iser. Okay. So that's an Iser to ask questions of an astrologer. Consult the horoscopes. So that's a violation of Tamim Tiya. Now, the Ramban is, because of this Gemara, bothered with the Rambam. What's he bothered with? As we've seen many times in the past, Gemara in the end of Makkos talks about the notion of Taryag Mitzvahs, and there was a literature over the course of the Gaonim and Rishonim trying to figure out which are. Gemara says that there are Taryag Mitzvahs based on a Gematria. The Gemara doesn't tell us what they are. So the whole literature in Gaonim and Rishonim, some of our greatest minds spent a lot of time trying to figure out, nail down, what is the list of Taryag Mitzvahs because obviously they're way more than Taryag Dinim. Many, many thousands, tens of thousands of dinim which are binding on a Jew. So clearly not every din is a mitzvah. So what constitutes a mitzvah? So there are different counts of that, probably the most famous of the Rambams. The Rambam preceded his count of 248 mitzvahs and 365 lavin, as you know, by trying to work out a method, not just to haphazardly list mitzvahs, but let's figure out criteria. He came up with 14 criteria, the 14 sharashim, which the Rambam believed, if you apply those 14 Sharashim to the mass of halacha, 613 dinim will emerge that match those criteria that qualify as mitzvahs. Has to be a din d'orais, has to be in the chumash, has to be a din l'doros, and so on and so forth. So Rambam works out these 14 Sharashim, and then based on that, develops his list of what are the Tariq mitzvahs. The Ramban has, as you know, running hasagas, running commentary on the Rambam, and he'll often dispute, you shouldn't have counted this. According to the Rambam's own rules, this shouldn't be counted. Sometimes he'll say, you counted this as many different mitzvahs should have been one, or this counted this as one, it should have been broken down into four. The Rambam, I believe, counts four separate mitzvahs to give skila, to give sreif, to give her, to give chenek. Ramban says, no, that should just be based on the Rambam's own rules. There shouldn't be four. That should just be one single mitzvah. Okay. So as Ramban has a running commentary throughout the minyan ha-mitzvahs, throughout the sefer mitzvahs of the Rambam, by the time he's done, so he's disputed the Rambam many times, and he has cut out many mitzvahs. There are many times when the Ramban said, I don't think the Rambam should have counted this, or he counted it as four, should have only counted as one. So he comes up at the end with a shortfall. The Ramban is below 613. So at the end, after Sefer Mitzvahs is done, he says, but I hold that there are other mitzvahs that the Rambam didn't count that he should have counted. So I'm also come to a total of 613. So with the Ramban, at the end of Sefer Mitzvahs, when he has this appendix where he adds, here are the mitzvahs the Rambam didn't count that he should have, see, he's very polite about it. He calls them the mitzvahs shashachah harav, the mitzvahs that the Rambam forgot. He forgot. The Ramban thinks the Rambam is wrong. Rambam incorrectly left them out. So he wants to be derech kavod the Rambam. He says the Rambam forgot them. So some of them are more famous than others. Ramban talks about the mitzvah of Birkas HaTorah. The Rambam never counts Birkas HaTorah as a mitzvah. The Ramban thinks it should be a mitzvah based on the pasuk in Ha'azinu. Kishem Hashem Ekra, Gemara in Brachas. The Ramban, perhaps the most famous of all, is mitzvah Dalet. Mitzvah say Dalet, Yishuv Haaretz. Ramban says, Rambam never counts Yishuv Haaretz. Ramban thinks that's to be counted as one of the Tariq mitzvahs. Then here we have Hanogei Leonenu is mitzvah ches. Mitzvah ches, Ramban says, Tamim tiyem Hashem lokecha. That's a mitzvah saseh. Why didn't the Rambam count it? It's the Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim says, En shaldim bekaldoi. Why? Tamim tiyem. Pasuk. It's a pasuk in Chumash. It's a din ledaros, a din daraisa. It fits all the criteria. It should have been counted. So they have a very long and beautiful, very poetic mitzvah shminis. Tamim tiyem Hashem lokecha. And he goes on to say, fascinating, Ramban describes the emunah that this is based, the sense of emunah that this is based on. And that rather than going to an astrologer or some such person, look, he might be right. He might be right. But Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to do that. He might be right, he might not be right. Kadosh Baruch could change it. Kadosh Baruch is in charge. So Ribbono Shel Olam, Ramban says, wants us to only if you either don't worry about the future, don't try to get a prediction. If you're going to get a prediction, go to a Navi, ask the Urim V'Tumim, ask Ribbono Shel Olam through his authorized channels. Don't seek this occult way of finding out the future. And he goes on to talk about Avraham Avinu. From Avinu was Netzav in this, his Halech Lefanai, Veheyei Samim. Veheyei Samim, they're a fascinating Ramban. So as a parashah, he thinks that Veheyei Samim, by the Tzivu of Mila, is related to this Tamim Tia, because what it means fundamentally is a Hashlama of one's Emuna. Okay. So that's Ramban. So Taka Gudkasha. So what's Taka Pshat Rambam? What's Taka Pshat Rambam? So why didn't he count it? Why didn't he count it? So two things. There are two pieces to it. He does quote, the Rambam does quote the Gemara in Pesachim, that one's not allowed to ask for predictions to seek out an astrologer. He does, he includes it under the rubric of the Lav of Me'onin. You take a look in Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha, Halacha Tess. Ma'onein, as I mentioned before, Machlokas Hatanam, Sanhedrin Samachay was Ma'onein mean. So part of Ma'onein is sort of a subset of Menachish. Menachish means superstition, and Ma'onein specifically means that Milashin Ona is to be superstitious about certain times. To think that particular times are not an unlucky time. Friday the 13th is unlucky, so therefore I'm not going to start, I'm not going to go to work because it's Friday the 13th. That's a violation of Ma'onein. To be superstitious in general is Menachish, to be superstitious about time is Ma'onein. So the Rambam, included in that, says if I act because of the Istakninus, that astrology is all about looking at where the stars are, and particularly different times, the astronomical basis to that part of it, in specific times, you have specific configurations in the skies. So to associate some astrological meaning with that astronomical configuration in the sky, to say, oh, this time is bad because Mars is here and Jupiter is there, the Rambam says, oh, that's Ma'onin. That's a lav of Ma'onin. That's what he writes. He talks about not asking the Hovrei Shamayim, Halacha Tess. So in terms of the din in Maseches Pesachim, the din in Kufayin Tessif of the Rambam quotes it, he just subsumes it under the lav of Ma'onin. But how about the Pasuk of Tamim Tia? So this is very fascinating. The Pasuk of Tamim Tia, and the Ran points it at the very end, on that Gemara, the very end of Perek Arba Misos, this is the Mukha Yosef on the Rif, the very end of Arba Misos. But then the Rambam quotes the Pasuk and the closing halacha of the Perek. After Rambam goes through the first 15 halachas, halachas dalet, I should say, through Tezvav, all the different types of occult practice, he sort of has a summation, a conclusion. He says, all of this stuff is Narishkeit. This is all Narishkeit. Sheker v'chazav. And he says, this is all false. It's all meaningless. All this magic, it's all garbage, says the Rambam. None of it actually means anything. It's all fakery. And he says, not only is it fakery, it's silly, it also has led people to Avodah Zarah. Sounds like he's saying it's like the reason why all this is usher is number one, because it's silly, it's stupid, and number two, siyag to Avodah Zarah. He says, Jews are chachamim mechukamim. It's unbecoming of us to follow all of this narishkeit, the kishuf and the nichush and the kosim and all of that. He says, Bilam praises us. Kilo nachash b'yakov l'kesnim yisrael. We're interested in nichush, interested in kosim. And he says, to think that these things mean something, but the Torah said they're usher anyways, but they work. Look, kosher, non-kosher food, it works, but strafe. Right? So if you're going to think, the Rambam says, that these things all work, they're just not kosher, says, you are absolutely wrong. You're absolutely wrong. It's all silly. And the Rambam argues very vociferously in Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Tazayin. And he closes by saying, that's why, take a look inside, when the Torah told us to avoid all these things, Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha. Remember, as we saw before, the Torah presents Tamim Tiyem as sort of the close of that whole list of don't do this, don't do that, Tamim Tiyem. So the Rambam quotes Tamim Tiyah, but the Machlokas Rambam Ramban appears to be, is it a new din? Or is it an explanation of the other dinim? The Ramban said this ought to have been counted because it's a mitzvah. This is a mitzvah, saseh, to avoid all of these activities. The Rambam says it's not a new mitzvah, it's an explanation. It's not a tzivui, you better be tamim. It's explaining the principle behind all these isurim. Don't be menachesh, don't be a kosim, don't be menachesh. Why? Because tamim tia. Because this is silly, this is narishkeit. Now, what might emerge is that this machlokas Rambam Ramban, whether we should be counted as a mitzvah or not, may relate to the other machlokas Rambam Ramban going on here, which the Mukhi Yosef stresses, which the Rambam himself already raised. Are these things silly? The Torah forbade them because they're silly? Or the Torah forbade them despite the fact that they work? That's sort of the corollary machlokas here. The Ramban does say, these things may indeed work. The astrologer may know something, but still, the Torah said, don't. Still, the Torah said, don't, right? Rosenzweig pointed out many years ago, you know, we tend to think about this machlokas, which again, the Mukiyos at the end of Arba Mises sets up, machlokas Rama the Rishonim, it's the Mukhi Yosef. I should mention also it's the Vilna Gaon famously talks about here in Kuf Ayin Tes. Later in Kuf Ayin Tes is Sifkat and Yud Gimel. He's very vociferously, vehemently opposed to the Rambam. He says all the other Rishonim disagree with him, and he thinks the Rambam read too much philosophy, and that's why he rejected it as being silly. No, it does work, and still it's awesome. Okay. There's some scholarly debate whether that line in the Be'er Agra is from the Gra himself or it's from Talmidim. Be that as it may, this machlokas Rambam versus Ramban and others is magic usher because it's silly and doesn't really exist, or is magic usher despite the fact that it does exist? So two ha'aras. Ha'ar number one is that Rabbi Rosenzweig points, I remember hearing this probably 20 years ago, you know, we tend to think that the Rambam is a stronger opinion. He says it's mamish, there's nothing there. So he points out, but in a sense, the Ramban is a stronger opinion. The Ramban is saying the whole thing is Narishkeit. The Torah said, don't get involved in Narishkeit. Ramban is saying there actually is something there. And still it's Aser. Moreover, I would suggest that we saw the Ramban are arguing over whether Tamim Tia is a specific tzivoy or giving sense to the larger picture, sort of a time of the crop. There's another layer of Machlokas Ramban here as well, which also has to do with how you read Tamim Tia. The Rambam says Tamim Tia means this is all silly. This is all silly, and don't let this sheker pull you into Avodah Zarah. So it's about sheker, avoiding sheker, and it's about a siyag to Avodah Zarah. If you look at the Ramban, I mentioned before the Ramban is very poetic. It's kedai to read the Rambam. It is very beautiful, and there's a lot going on. He's a very beautiful Rishon. You need to read carefully and be medayik, like any other Rishon, while you also enjoy his poetry. You have to read it as both poetry and as prose. If you read the Ramban slowly and carefully, I think what emerges is that there's a different value that Tamim Tia speaks to. The Rambam speaks to sheker, avoiding sheker, and a siyag tavodah zara. What the Ramban speaks to is sort of like the next step. Ramban speaks to recognizing that Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. In other words, recognizing Hashgacha Pratis. Because Ramban says, I believe more than once in Mitzvah Ches, he says, "V'lo niftach shi'avo divrei ma'kol panim." We cannot believe that what the astrologers say will certainly happen. He says, if we hear something that they say, we should ought to say, "Hakol bidei shamayim, ki hu mishane marechas hakochavim mazos kiritzono." We hear what the astrologers say. We say, "Yeah, there is substance to that, but look, Kadosh Baruch Hu could change it." Hakol bidei shamayim. In other words, it's recognizing hashgacha pratis. And what the Ramban is saying is more broadly applicable. Now, the Ramban sees astrology as part of the scientific system that Rabbi Hashem set up when he created the universe. Okay, Rambam says astrology is not part of the system of forces, physical, chemical, biological forces that Kadosh Baruch set when he created the universe. Ramban says, yes, it is. Okay, so the Rambam says, the Torah is saying, this is all Narishkeit. Ramban is saying, this is a part of the system that Ramban Shem set up when he created the world. That Kadosh Baruch Hu wants you to recognize that he is ultimately in charge. Shkacha Pratis, which as an aside, you take a look, it's very beautiful, we don't have time to talk about this now, but the Sefer HaChinuch on the mitzvah of Tumas Saras, I believe it's Kuf Samach Tes, this week's parsha, beginning of Tazria, see, he talks about all the obscure, abstruse dinim of Tzaras, you know, a very beautiful, beautiful lumdus, but it seems like it's so not nogea to us. The Sefer Chinuch says the dinim haven't been knowing in 2 millennia. He says, but the time of the Kura is this yisod of Hashkacha Pratzis. The time of the Kura of Tzaras and all the different details. You take a look; it's very beautiful. It says, "Doubtful the fact that it's so detailed means Hakadosh Baruch will maybe send you a message, and he's going to respond to the degree of your tshuva." 1 week of Hezger, 2 weeks of Hezger, with a simon, without a simon. It's very kedayt, I recommend. The course of a Shabbos afternoon, open up Sefer Chinuch, take a look at the Sharashim of the mitzvah of the Tumas Saras. But that's, again, this idea of Hashkacha Pratis. So that's what the Ramban is saying, that's Tamim Tiyah. So again, obviously the Ramban agrees to Ramban, the Moshe not be over to Avodah Zarah. And the Rambam agrees to the Ramban that we believe Hashkacha Pratis. The question is, both ideas, obviously everyone agrees, except the question is, where is Tamim Tiyah coming in? The Rambam and Tamim Tiyah is sort of like the most basic level. It's Sheker, it's silly, and it's Siyag Tavodah Zarah. The Ramban is sort of like the next level, this basic pina, this basic fundamental idea of recognizing Hashkacha Pratis, recognizing that we look around in the world and there are different forces at work, but ultimately Ribbono Shel Olam is driving them, and ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is in control. So that's Sif Aleph. Now, in terms of Nichush in particular, in terms of superstition in particular, this love of Menachesh, so there is a very... So the Rambam quotes the Sifra, the Sifrei, which is quoted as well already, the Baram Samachay Amid Beis, that the very, very Baram Samachay Beis, what's Menachesh? Pito Naflam Yipiv, Maklo Naflam Yado, oh, my bread fell out of my mouth, so as Rashi explains, I'm not going to go to work today, I'm not going to start a new project, because that's a bad sign. My stick fell, bad sign. These are not so much part of Western culture. These aren't such familiar superstitions, except maybe a black cat crossed my path. So I have something along these lines. Tzvi hefsiko baderech, a deer crossed my path. I may as well go home. Whatever I do is not going to work out anyways. So Gemara goes on to say, to make those sort of decisions, that's a violation of lo senachashu. That's a violation of Los Anachos. Right? So the ones that are more common in Western culture might be, the mirror cracked, so that's a sign of bad luck. Or again, the black cat crossed my path, things of that sort. I better throw salt, knock on wood, things to ignite good luck or to avoid bad luck. So though whatever culture it is, those acting like that is a violation of Nichush. Now, a couple of kashas are in order. The first one is, you open up Shulchan Aruch, the first thing he seems to say on the topic, this is Yosef Gimel Shulchan Aruch, he quotes these dinim, Pitzi Nafli Mipi, Makli Miyadi, etc., quotes examples from the Gemara, and then the other examples we've shown him have. But the problem is, but before Siv Gimel comes Siv Beis. Nogu she'im aschilin b'beiz v'dali, no sim nashim mila alvana. The minig to only get married a certain time of the month. People like to get married the first half of the month. To start things a certain day of the week. That's mutter. What do you mean? Nogu. We have a minig to violate nichush? Or again, as we said before, superstition about time may specifically be ma'onein. So what do you mean nogu? Rama gives a very common example. To start the Zman Rosh Chodesh, we started the semester Rosh Chodesh Shavat, I believe it was. To start the Zman Rosh Chodesh Iyar, Rosh Chodesh Elul. So Rama says that apparently this is a very ancient practice. He quotes it from the Smak, back in the 1200s. What do you mean, Nagu? We have the minig to. I have the minig to speak Lashon Hara. I have the minig to eat lobster. We have the nagu. It's lobderaisa. It's the very next sif. So what's going on? So that's kasha number one. And there are various things that we do which do seem to be a violation of Nichash. What are we meant to make of Gemara and Arius about Simanei Rosh Hashanah? To eat certain things without Rosh Hashanah, it's a good simon, but isn't it a violation of a law of Daraisa? But to Gemara and Arius. But what about the Gemara Sanhedrin, based on the Pesukim and Parsha Shoftim? So that's problem number one. Why are all these things mutter, nagu, if there's a law of Menachish? Problem number two is the Gemara and Chulin. Gemara and Chulin, Daftzadi Hei. Right, the Gemara says a very, very striking, Tosis says a very striking. Gemara says, you want to know what constitutes Nichush? So it's only Nichush if it's like Yonasan or Eliezer. If it's not like Yonasan or Eliezer, that's not. It's called Nachash, Eino Ke Eliezer, Avin Avram, Ki Yonasan Ben Shol, Eino Nachash. Real Nichush is like Yonasan and Eliezer. So Tosis, a series of two Tosis in a row, they say, what? You mean we're holding up those two tzaddikim as paradigms of a lav daraisa? What do we mean Yonasan as an aside? I mean Yonasan Eliezer, so Eliezer referring to Eliezer at the well. He makes a simon that the girl who gives the right response to my request for water, she'll be the wife for Yitzhak. Right? Yonasan is somewhat less well known. You have to be familiar with Sefer Shmuel. Hopefully we all are. He goes on a guerrilla mission with his Nosei Kelim, on his own, just the two of them, to attack the Plishti garrison. Plishti garrison was up the mountain, and they approached from below, and he says to Nosei Kelim, here's what we're going to do. We're going to call up, and if they respond, we're coming down to get you, we'll run. But if they say, come on up, then we know we can go up, we'll be successful. So the Gemara says, Rav says, Sechulim Sadehem Ebeiz, that's real Nichush. If it's not like them, that's not real Nichush. Shatosa says, what do you mean? Those great tzaddikim were in violation of Lav Daraisa? What's the Gemara trying to say? Shatosa begins to work on it. You look in the Mukhi Yosef, he develops it some more, and the Kesef Mishra really puts the pieces together. That the definition of Nichush involves two criteria. Rav is saying that one of those two criteria was fulfilled by Yonasan and Eliezer. So what they did was mutter because they were not fulfilling the other criteria. But they are the example of one criteria. What do we mean? We shall explain that it's only Nichush, criteria number one, which Yonasan and Eliezer are examples of, illustrations of, is it's only Nichush if you're really basing behavior on it. To say, I'm on my way to work, then the black cat crossed my path, let me just go home, forget about it. You change behavior based on that simon, so that's a violation of Nichush. That's a violation. To really take it seriously in that way, to really ascribe substance to it. But the Gemara goes on to say later in Sadehem Beis and Chulin, and that's what's quoted Siv Dalid in Yardaya here. Bayis Tinuk Ve'ish Afa Pishei Nachash Yesh Simon. There could be a situation where it's not Nichush, it's a Simon. So what does that mean? If it's Simon Bi'alma, that's this first criterion. If it's just Simon Bi'alma, if I say it's a good Simon, but I'm not actually basing behavior on it, then it's mutter. And the Rishonim explain, that's what's going on in Siv Beis. When we say, some people families have the preference to get married the first half of the month when the moon is growing, or we have a preference to get married, have a chuppah outside under the stars. It's reminiscent of the bracha Kadosh Baruch Hu gave to Avraham Avinu. Like, ko yezaracha. Can you count the kochavim ko yezaracha? So you get married tachas kibbutz hashamayim, the reminiscent of that bracha. Right, so those things are all mutter because they don't fulfill criteria number one. It's merely a simon, meaning, what do I mean merely a simon? So, just like you make a wedding, and something that's been on our minds now, I see weddings done in unusual ways. You make a wedding, you want to make it beautiful. That doesn't mean it has to cost, six figures, but you want to make the wedding beautiful. The caller wears a white gown. Right? There's a certain aesthetic to the presentation of the wedding. So there might be certain things. The wedding is chal, as we have seen, even if the caller is not wearing a white gown. Right? Wedding is chal about a lot of things. But there's a certain aesthetic. You want it to be a beautiful, dignified, presentable wedding. Again, discussion for another time. There's a difference between beautiful, dignified, and presentable on the one hand, and spending extravagant amounts of money on the other hand. Okay, that's a discussion for a different time. So, because shame that there's a certain physical aesthetic, you know, you want it to be beautiful, there could be a spiritual aesthetic as well. Now, to do it in a way that's reminiscent of certain brachas, that's a siman tov. And you get married outside tachas kippas hashemayim, reminiscent of the bracha Kadosh Baruch Hu gave to Arvinu. It's a spiritual aesthetic. It's a thing of spiritual beauty. It's siman tov. It reminds us of good haftachas. That's fine if your attitude is a siman tov. Okay, but if it rains, we'll go inside. If it's too cold, we'll go inside. Right? But if a person, Rav Shechter points out, if you're so makbid, it has to be tachas kippas hashemayim, you know, against all odds, it absolutely has to. And if you believe it's actually going to make or break the shalom bias, and you're like basing, it must be, or let's say, you know, to get married the first half of the month. So it's a beautiful siman, right? It's a way of expressing that the couple's love should continue to grow just as the moon right now is growing. Okay, very nice. But if you're going to push off the wedding 3 months because, you know, you're only willing to look at dates, you know, their first half of the month, and those are all booked already. So instead of getting married next month, in the second half of the month, we'll push off 3 months because it has to be, it's usher to be the second half of the month. Then already, that's no longer a siman. That's no longer just a siman. When you're acting as though it's actually going to make a difference to the couple, that's not merely a siman. When you're basing behavior on it, that's a problem. That's what the Gemara was saying. Criteria number one, Yonasan and Eliezer actually based behavior on what they were doing. Right? It wasn't just, Eliezer was just saying, it would be nice if the girl, you know, says this. He said, I will choose a girl who says this. If she doesn't say it, I'm not taking her for Yitzhak. If she does say it, I will take her for Yitzhak. Yonasan said, if the Plishtim say X, we'll go up. If the Plishtim say Y, we'll run away. It was a real litmus test that was driving behavior. So that's Nachash. That's Nachash. Now, Taka, why was it Mutter for Yonasan and Eliezer to do what they did? The answer is a second criterion. The second criterion is it has to be nonsense. It has to be without any scientific rational basis. The Kesef of Mishnah says along the lines of the following. And imagine, you know, I leave the umbrella at the front door, and every day I look out the window near the front door, and I see. If it's blue, so then I don't take the umbrella. If it's gray, I take the umbrella. So, no, Nachash. Right? Now, basing behavior on that siman, right? Whether it's blue or gray, the answer is, because Mishnah doesn't say exactly that, but more or less. So he says, obviously, that's obviously Mutter. Why? I think it's based on the Ran and Chulin. Am I correctly? Or he quotes the Nuki Yosef Sanhedrin. I forget which. He says, no, because yes, you're basing behavior, but there's a rational basis. If the sky is blue, then it's unlikely to rain. If the sky is gray, it is likely to rain. So if there's a rational scientific explanation for it, or psychological explanation for it, so that's not Nachash. That's rational decision making. So Eliezer said, we're going to see if she's such an incredible balas chesed. I ask for a cup of water. She brings me thousands of gallons for all the camels. Wow, that actually says something. Again, the Gemara elsewhere discusses he maybe should have looked for more than just chesed. But so it may have been a good decision, bad decision, but it wasn't Nachash because it had a rational basis. Yonasan, Rishonim explained, he said they have an incredible strategic advantage. There are a whole garrison of soldiers up on top of the mountain. We're dead, two people at the bottom of the mountain. There's no reason if they don't come. We would expect they would come flying down on us. If they say, come on up, that's a siman, psychologically, they're scared, they're in a weak place, and that means that we're likely, b'si'at d'shmaya, it would not take a nes nigla for us to succeed. So that was, you know, they were fulfilling condition number one, but it was mutter because they were not fulfilling condition number two. Let's close up. I see we're running a little over time here. But the conversation we had before we started the Chabur, I think was very important, just putting pieces into place. So let me just close up. I guess a good example of what we're talking about is the fact that many yeshivas adapted their zmanim. Right? Many yeshivas that normally would not start Rosh Chodesh Iyar have already started Zoom Yeshiva this week. Right? Because, okay, under the circumstances, that's what made sense. They didn't say it has to be Rosh Chodesh. That's what the Rambam says. If you say Rosh Chodesh is Simen Tov, it's a beautiful time to start, but it's not, it has to be, you know, Rosh Chodesh or bust. Okay, Tov. So then that's a Simen, and that's Mutter. Or again, even if I'm basing behavior on it, but if there's a rational basis, also Mutter. Usher. Let's take a question from Usher, and then I want to close by talking about Simane Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. Yeah, but if you're saying that you're not taking it too serious, right? That's what I'm saying. Basing behavior in a way that's very definite and a way that expresses, I think it actually matters. I'm on my way to work and the black hat crosses my path and I say, I forget I'm going home. That's because I think that because the black hat crossed my path, work is not going to go well today. Right? But if I say it's ideal to start Rosh Chodesh. It's ideal to get married. It's nice to get married at the beginning of the month. If we can, we'll get married at the end of the month. Sure, it's not going to impact the quality of the marriage, quality of the relationship in the long term. So right now, driving behavior in a very specific way as opposed to more casual. So Simon Tov, why not? It would be nicer. It's aesthetic. Simon, it's aesthetic. It's nicer for it to be nice. That's beautiful. But I'm not hung up on it. If it can't be nice, so we'll do without it. So the degree of kepeda is the key piece of that first criterion. And let's wrap up with talking Simani Rosh Hashanah. Simani Rosh Hashanah appears in Horius together with a whole host of other similar types of things. Gemara Horius talks about, you know, to have a royal coronation at the river. His malchus should flow on to learn at the river, so the learning should flow. So Miri says, well, what does that all mean? Superstition. So the Miri says, it puts you into base. It's psychologically effective. You're gonna he says something actually which may actually cover both criteria. You incarnate the king at the river, with the rushing water, it's an incredible backdrop. It's an incredible psych up. It starts the king off in a good frame of mind. You start off in a good frame of mind, you're more likely to be successful psychologically. You're setting yourself up for success. And the same is true of the learning. I think I believe he also says, may have to do with the in terms of the quality of the air. Gemara there talks about the quality of the air. It says there could be a psychological explanation for why it works. So to tweak the situation so that I'm psychologically set for success, that's number one. I'm safe in terms of criteria number two. There's a rational basis for this. It sounds like he may also be speaking to tipping his hat to criteria number one. It's Simon. I'm not saying that. We have to get married. You have to get becarnate there or else it's not chal. We're not going to cancel if we can't get to the river, but more beautiful. It's not maybe a combination of both. In terms of Simon Rosh Hashanah, so I believe he also talks about sort of the psychological angle. It puts these Simonim, surround myself with these Simonim Rosh Hashanah, puts me into a better frame of mind. Better frame of mind in terms of my davening, better frame of mind in terms of going into the year. And then I believe it's Nesivus who writes in MLC Yaakov, Not Rak Frameski, but the Nesivus is MLC Yaakov, is a collection of Nesivus' Beyurim to Agados Hashas. So I believe it's there where the Nesivus writes, different approach, that it is substantive and productive, Simani Rosh Hashanah, but not, he says, not that because I ate the apple and honey, now I'm going to have a sweet new year. But not that it's merely Simon Bialma, it's beautiful, but doesn't impact. It says it does impact, but in a rational way. Which rational way? Not as the Meiri said, rationally in terms of psychologically, it puts me into a better frame of mind. He says that it's rationally in terms of tefillah. He quotes Ramban in Parshas Bo, who talks about the fact that often HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have the Navi not only verbally deliver the Nevuah, but act it out as well, Poel Dimyon. Rabban writes, the speech accompanied by action enhances the power, multiplies the power of the speech. So Meir, so the Nesivas writes, if that's true for words of Nevuah, maybe it's also true for words of Tefillah. I could daven verbally, and that has power. That's appropriate. Going back to the beginning, Tam Tiyam Shem Lekecha, that's appropriate spiritual power. Words of Tefillah Tekadosh Baruch Hu. So Nesiva says, maybe you could have a Poel Dimyon, just as a Poel Dimyon enhances the verb, the power of the verbalized Nevuah, perhaps the Poel Dimyon could also enhance the and magnify the power of a verbalized Tefillah. So all year long, we daven verbally. But Leil Rosh Hashanah, we're not just going to daven Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaDin, we're not just going to daven verbally, we're even going to daven with a Poel Dimyon. So he says, the Iker is not eating the apple and honey. The Iker is not eating the black-eyed peas. The Iker is not eating the Rosh HaKeves. The Iker is Yehi Ratzon. Tzvila. Yehi Ratzon Shev Hashanah Tov Masuki. Yehi Ratzon Shev Zuchu Yosein. Yehi Ratzon, Yehi Ratzon. Now you're going to say Yehi Ratzon, you're even going to enhance it by acting it out. That's why Pashtus, so I tell the people around my table, Leil Rosh Hashanah, you could say the Yiratzen and look at the simen. If you want to eat it, it's a matov. If you don't like pomegranates, if you're echoed by the head of the fish, so say the Yiratzen and look at it. And if you look at throughout the Nevi'im, they're different types of Poel Dimyon. Sometimes it was something they actually did, sometimes it was something they set up and looked at. So it's a Poel Dimyon. According to Nesivas, if you're going to eat all the foods, but you forget that they hiratzen, that's mamash ikur chasim and asefer. The main point is the tefillah. The tefillah, the hiratzen, is enhanced by also having the simen. But the ikur is the tefillah. And finally, just to close off, so this particular idea, the Rav develops the notion that the shofar is a type of a non-verbal tefillah. A number of riots, not for now. But I was thinking, they could be these fit together. All year long, we daven in sort of a basic verbal fashion. But Rosh Hashanah is mamish, Yom HaDin. So that's Rosh Hashanah, we have to pull out all the stops and try daven as many ways as we can. So we daven, obviously, bepeh. We daven with shofar. And we also want to daven the Poel Dimyon. But daven the Poel Dimyon, probably would have been funny to bring food into shul. So that's why the davening bepeh and the davening with the shofar that happens in the shul, the davening the Poel Dimyon, that happens at home. But it's all part of the same idea of we're trying to pull out all the stops and davening in it as use as many tools of tefillah as we can on Rosh Hashanah. And again, as we said before, this is not nachash, according to the Nesivas, because the simbiyama, but because of the second condition. This is rational. This is reasonable. This is tefillah. And as we said before, that Judaism believes in the supernatural. We access, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is supernatural. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to access the supernatural in specific ways, in ways that focus us on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Ramban understood Tam Tia, rather than focusing us, as Rambam also understood Tam Tia, rather than focusing us away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Tadavin, Matov, that's appropriate spirituality. And we'll take our lead from the Nevi'im that a Poel Dimyon, the Rabban, again the Rabban in Parshas Lech Lecha, that a Poel Dimyon can further enhance our tefillah. So these are some of the major issues that come up, A, in terms of Talmud Tia, Machlokas Rishonim. We saw two or three different layers of Machlokas Rishonim about Talmud Tia, and the major issue about the major discussion Rishonim about Nichush, and how you align the Gemara in Chulin Tzarihei with the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and we saw what emerges that there are two criteria. In order to be a violation of Nichush, you have to be in violation of both criterion. It has to be something that's driving behavior in a fashion that's of kepeda, driving behavior in a way that shows you think this really means something. It's not just aesthetic. It's not just spiritual aesthetic, and that it has no rational basis. If you have both those criteria, then the behavior that you're doing is indeed a violation of nachash. So, Mirtz Hashem, next week we're going to continue deeper into Kuf Ayin Tes. Maybe we'll look at Kosem about predicting the future, and certainly we will look, Bli Neder, at Kishuf and the other aspect of Ma'onin in terms of magic and magic tricks. So that is coming up, Bli Neder, next week. Hever, thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining in.